This is a HeadGum Podcast. Say hello to Lightbox, a new brand of laboratory-grown diamond jewelry. Never heard of lab-grown diamonds? Join the club. Here's what you need to know. They have the same chemical makeup as natural diamonds, but are made in a lab by scientists. It's a pretty amazing process, actually. By using a plasma reactor nearly as hot as the surface of the sun, a piece of diamond is bombarded with carbon atoms and grows. After 400 to 500 hours, it's big enough to cut into a polished stone. Pretty cool if you consider diamonds from the earth took about 3 billion years to reach the surface. While natural diamonds are rare, Lightbox can make a lot of lab-grown ones, meaning you don't have to be a millionaire to afford one. Lightbox's lab-grown diamonds are just $200 a quarter carat plus the cost of the setting. Their scientists have even figured out how to make the pink and blue ones. Pink and blue natural diamonds are so rare, you've probably never seen one before. But now you can own a lab-grown one or several. Check them out at lightboxjewelry.com/lovin. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Simple Health. If you guys don't know what Simple Health is, it is care that fits your life. They use technology to provide simple, convenient, and affordable care at home, starting with online birth control prescriptions and delivery. It's truly amazing. Here's how it works. Whether you're trying birth control for the first time or you need to renew your prescription, you just fill out the online health profile, answer some questions, and then a doctor reviews it, find out if you're a good candidate for birth control, and recommends a product and writes you a prescription. Then your birth control ships to your door on a recurring schedule, no interruptions. It's free with most insurance plans, and it's under $20 a month on average without insurance. So if you already have a prescription and you want to cut out the hassle of going to the pharmacy, you can just give them your pharmacy information and they'll do all the work to transfer your prescription over and start shipping your birth control right to your door for free. It is so convenient. It is so accessible. It is completely discreet. If you guys are feeling, you know, a little bit shy, like you don't want to go to the pharmacy and pick up your birth control, maybe you're embarrassed, maybe you're feeling insecure about it, this delivers right to your door. You don't need to worry about interacting with anyone, seeing anyone. It's online. It's so easy to do. Honestly, I did it and it's so quick. You just go through your medical history, your preferences, and then you check out. It is so straightforward. And I love that because it's really simple. So here's the best part about it. Simple Health offers affordable care regardless of insurance. They do accept insurance and birth control is free with most insurance plans. But for those without insurance, the average cost is $18 a month depending on the type prescribed and delivery is free. The prescription is usually $20, but if you're listening today, you get to try it for free with our Lady Lovin' code. So that is... the prescription is usually $20, but Simple Health is giving Lady Lovin' listeners a free prescription by going to simplehealth.com/lovin' and enter the code LOVIN at checkout. That's simplehealth.com/lovin' with the code LOVIN at checkout.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. I'm Jilly Hendricks.
Hi guys, it's Lo. It's Monday.
It is Monday. It's a beautiful Monday in the world of that we live in.
It's Halloween week.
It is Halloween week.
Did you go out this weekend?
I did. I went out on Saturday night. I'll tell you my Halloween story. So
please do.
I was planning on just wearing a wig and like a sexy black outfit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And... you know, like one does when they want to get feisty. And instead, I like walked into this store and caught out of the corner of my eye this hot pink dress, the same dress that Kim Kardashian wore to Kylie Jenner's 21st birthday.
Okay.
It was not the same exact dress, but it was the hot pink dress with a cutout in the middle of the waist. And I was like, this is it.
Did you go out searching for something like specifically?
So I had like a few things in my mind. I was with my friend Julie and I was more interested in getting a wig. And she was like, will you come with me to these clothing stores on Broadway? Because I want to get a red pleather onesie to be Elizabeth Hurley in Bedazzled.
Okay.
And so we go into these stores and I ended up getting this dress. It was $29, so it was cheaper than a SoulCycle class. And then I was like, all I need to do is get a wig. So I didn't really plan on being Kim Kardashian.
It just happened.
It just happened.
As it does happen.
And so I felt pretty cool. It was like a great look. But so then I go to the wig store. It had like a black, long hair, curly wig, and I put a bunch of gel in it.
What do you mean gel?
Well, she had her hair like wet and gelled, like curled and wet and gelled that night.
Okay.
So I put a bunch of gel.
Oh, you like really went for it.
Oh, yeah. So like I basically all I had was a makeup appointment at NARS at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And that's all I did for Halloween. And then I brought my wig and they did my makeup and they put the wig on and put the gel in and helped me.
The wig looked so good though. Like, did you get it glued to your face or something?
No, I didn't even wear a wig cap. I just kind of like put it on. It started to slide towards the end of the evening, but it was a cute look. I really didn't rage though. I got home at 12 and then I watched Friends.
Yeah. I stayed out late.
What were you for Halloween?
I'm not sure what I was. I wore a purple bob wig and some crystals on my face and on my neck. And I was like, maybe I'm Gwen Stefani from No Doubt back in like the 90s. Or maybe I'm Natalie Portman from Closer, or just like a burner. I'm not sure. Unclear.
A burner. Yeah. I like the idea that you were a burner.
I've never been to Burning Man, and neither I never want to go to Burning Man.
You don't? There's no like piece of you that wants to go to Burning
Man? Nope.
I feel like I would like to go for a day just to see what it is, but then I would like to leave.
Nope. I do not want to go to Burning Man at all.
I think if I was 21, I would definitely have gone to Burning Man.
Yeah, if I was younger, I definitely would have gone. But I just know too much now. And
you're too knowledgeable.
You know, they say that like going to Burning Man like expands your mind and all of this stuff. And I'm sure there's listeners who are burners who love it and would like love to have a conversation with me about it. But I just don't need my mind expanded in that way.
I feel like you could go and not like, I feel like if I went, I would be 100% sober the whole time.
Yeah.
And I would just observe. Like, I can't like party like that, but I would just, I would like to just see what happens, but right. I would also want to stay in an RV with a shower. I love showering. I shower twice a day at least. Well, twice a day. Yeah.
100%. I mean, I just think, and this is not a criticism of this at all, but like most people just go because you like have orgies the whole time.
They do?
Yes. It's basically just like a big orgy fest.
I thought like some people went to also network and also to like, because it's like a music festival.
It's
I think
not,
there's different sides of it. There's different
not,
sides
it's
of it.
It's not a music festival.
Well, they have DJs.
Yeah, but any burner will be very specific and say it's not a music festival.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I know is like, yeah, I go for the sex. And I'm like, okay. And
really?
I don't know.
Most of the people I know go for like my friends went this past year and got remarried at Burning Man.
Yeah.
They go for like the community, not for like sex.
For the community sex?
Yeah, not for the community sex, but for the community. I have another friend who met her husband at Burning Man.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people that go and they're all really nice people. Just all those people in the desert not being able to get out and having to like live in the dirt just gives me real bad anxiety.
Yeah.
None of that appeals to me at all.
I do love an exit strategy.
Same. And you don't have one there.
But I think that I guess when I would go, I would need like
an exit strategy.
An exit strategy, 100%.
Definitely need an exit strategy. I guess I would go with you to Burning Man for one day.
Yeah.
Dead sober.
Yeah.
We chop her in, we chop her out.
Let's do it.
Okay.
One day, Burning Man.
One day, we'll be there.
You know, I love a costume, so I like that idea. But.
Yeah.
I probably have a really sick Burning Man costume.
Like, I think Burning Man probably 15 years ago, that would have been cool. But now it's just everyone and their mother. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's kind of ruined, like, the culture and, like, the culture of it, you know?
I know. I wonder what it would have been like 15 years ago before Instagram.
Yeah.
What was life like before Instagram?
Yeah, and everyone's going now just to, like, wear crazy stuff
and
photograph it. It just doesn't seem genuine to me. And I think that's really like at the core where I'm just like, I don't really need to participate in something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if you've been to Burning Man and you love it and you feel way differently about it, send me a DM because I would be curious to hear your thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, on it. I guess I'd like to know how casual people do Burning Man.
I just don't know if you can do casual Burning
Man. Casual Burning Man?
Yeah.
I like the idea of everyone contributing.
Me too.
Like some people cook, some people bring whatever.
Yeah.
Sheets, I don't know.
I love the concept of like leave no trace behind or whatever, yeah. You know, I think.
Like you clean up after yourself.
Yeah, like you can, you even have to like take your pee out, you know what I mean?
Oh.
You have to like take everything out when you leave.
I don't know if I would want to do that.
Well.
Take everything out. I think there's some things that could be left.
No. You can't go to Burning Man if you're going to leave your pee.
Oh my God, that is crazy.
That's so funny. Guys, Greta is in Laguna today. That's why she's not on the show. She has had a romantic weekend with Abe. Yeah,
it is a weekend of affection and love for Abraham and Greta.
Yes.
Abraham and Greta are very funny names together.
Yeah. And it's almost Abe's birthday.
It is almost Abe's birthday. Abe is like the fourth Lady Lovin'.
And we know that Abe listens to the episodes. So happy almost birthday, Abe. We can't wait to see you next weekend.
Do you think that Abe listens to the episodes?
That Greta is not?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out.
That would be very true love, I guess.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm so supportive of projects you're in, even when you're not in them.
Yes. Okay, we'll find out. We'll say nothing, and then we'll find out.
All right, shall we deep dive into questions?
Yeah.
Let's do it. You want to go first? I'll go first. Okay, so this is a beautiful, intelligent, you know, thriving 26-year-old Lady Lovin' that just emailed us. She says, I'm a makeup artist in NYC, and I work nonstop to achieve my goals. I'm happy to hustle the way I do. In a very saturated beauty industry and being an entrepreneur in general, of course you ladies know it is a lot of work and financially can be difficult at times. It's unfortunately kept me in such a toxic relationship with a client. She is also an entrepreneur and doing extremely well very quickly and someone I've worked with since the beginning of her journey. As of recent, the bigger she gets, the worse she treats me. She's been calling me demeaning names, belittling my craft and the products in my kit. Comparing my fiance and I to her and her ex-boyfriend in a negative way for no reason and thinks she knows how to do my job better than me. Then she tries to talk to me as a friend in text messages. She has a lot of issues mentally and in her personal life, and I'm the punching bag. I should also mention none of this bashing happens when my friend, who is her hairstylist, is around. I've talked to him about it, and he's disgusted as well. Women have quit her company left and right due to how she treats them. She is a consistent client, and in the freelancer life that I'm trying to build with better clients, it's hard to leave. It is emotional draining, and my fiance has seen me in tears because of her power trips. I deal with demanding clients all the time, but none treat me this way. I curate my kit to each and every client, so of course I think it's normal I get upset in the privacy of my home. I need out, but I'm scared of making that much less money. I support myself financially. She also requests such crazy-looking makeup, and basically I've learned I'm her therapist and the only makeup artist willing to accommodate her needs. She thinks she got bloated because of a primer I used on her and yelled at me for it. Okay, so her question is, should I stay with this client or should I go? So this sounds like you're getting emotionally abused. And whenever that is happening, no matter how great the money is, you have to walk away. I think 100%. I think that this is a situation that seems to be bringing you down even, you know, outside of when you're with this client. So it's affecting your life, not only the hour or 2 hours that you're with her, but even after that, when you're with other clients or when you're with your fiance or your friends. And that's also, I guess, a pretty negative thing. So I would definitely say that you should walk away from this client.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's really difficult to be a freelancer, right? And when you have something steady, when you're freelancing, it becomes really difficult to leave that because it leads you into these what-if scenarios, which I feel like I've talked a lot about on the show. But I would have to say that you're spending way more time on this person than just the hour you're actually with her doing her makeup or her hair or whatever, because you're spending so much other time thinking about it, debriefing about it. And I think it's really holding you back from your creativity, to be honest with you, and creativity when it comes to how to expand your business. It's really difficult to leave a stressful situation, like, you know what I mean? Especially when you're getting paid, or like, let's say it's a boyfriend, you know, but it's a bad relationship. It's difficult to leave those kinds of relationships, but the freedom that you'll feel once you decide to move in a different direction, I think will open up your life in a huge way and give you the space that you need to go out and continue to build your business in a really meaningful way.
Agreed. And I think that it's going to open you up to other clients that you may be missing out on because you're spending so much more time with this client. I think that with anything, when you do, you know, leave something consistent, like having a consistent client like this, it's going to take a minute to find another client, but you will get another consistent client. So
yeah,
I would just
100%.
I think Lo and I are on the same page here.
You can call Jilly. She loves a makeup artist.
Yeah, send me a DM.
DM Jilly. Slide into those DMs.
I love hair and makeup.
She does. She totally
I love a glam squad, although I can only do that for Halloween or an event.
Okay.
I have another question, Lo.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Can I go two in a row?
Yeah, dog. Go.
I really like this one because it's Halloween themed.
Okay.
The subject is haunted by the ghost of my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
So I figured we needed to read this one because it is semi a Halloween episode. Okay. Hi, ladies. FYI, my ex is still alive, and while I just thought it'd be fun to have a spooky and festive subject line. Oh, my God. Wait, we just got played.
Again.
We just got played.
Wait,
she said, haunted by the ghost of my ex-boyfriend. And then she says, hi, ladies. FYI, my ex is still alive, and while I just thought it would be a fun to have spooky and festive subject line.
Cute.
What a cute
love
listener.
That.
Love this girl. Okay. First, well, also, I didn't assume that your fiance had passed away or your ex had passed away. I just thought maybe that he broke, you guys broke up and you're still, you feel haunted, like emotionally haunted.
Right, yeah.
You know, I was thinking more of that. All right. Okay, so she says that she likes us and we've gotten her through some tough shit. Thanks, girl. Okay, she says, despite this newly found self-confidence that I have, my anxiety often gets the best of me and I find myself frequently entertaining self-destructive thoughts. These thoughts originated from my first ever long-term relationship, which started freshman year of high school. The emotional abuse and manipulation was so prevalent in our relationship that I ended up seeking therapy when I was only 16. Essentially, my ex-boyfriend consistently projected all of his subconscious insecurities onto me by pointing out my flaws as well as comparing me to other girls at our school. I began comparing myself to them too. This led me to constantly question my self-worth and that I would never be physically attractive, intelligent, or engaging enough for him. As the teenage years are crucial in creating and solidifying an individual sense of self, it has not only affected my self-esteem, but also negatively impacted my relationships that followed. Today, I find myself in the healthiest, most supportive relationship I've ever been in. My current partner always ensures that I feel understood, appreciated, and respected, but for some reason, I still cannot seem to shake these insecurities. When I first confessed my feelings to him, he told me he was emotionally unavailable as he was still getting over an ex who he had maintained a friendship with. Soon enough, however, he cut ties with her to be with me. Though we have had several open and honest conversations regarding the matter, I cannot help but compare myself to my current partner's ex-girlfriend. I find myself on her Instagram and Facebook page far more than I would like to admit. I tried blocking her to help me find some self-control, but I always end up unblocking her a few days later. I feel obsessive and psychotic, and I'm aware of how destructive this behavior is, but I cannot stop. Do you have any suggestions on how to shake these insecurities and curb these tendencies, as I stated previously? My partner is extremely respectful and understanding and has tried his best to help me overcome my negative thoughts. I really do not want my past to hinder my relationship with him. Okay. So I think that no matter how much blocking and muting and, you know, throwing your phone out the window that you're going to do, that you do, you know, this sort of behavior that you need to stop has to come from you. It can't come from just not having access to that, because you're always going to then like look at your friend's phone and look up the girl and that sort of thing. So you need to just figure out a way, I guess it doesn't have to do with like, you know, the technology blocking that we can do these days, to try to stop yourself from looking at this girl. I think the biggest thing you have to think about is you need to get to the place where you no longer want to feel negative about yourself and you no longer want to treat yourself poorly, because I think this is what the underlining, you know, thing is about this situation is that you don't feel good about yourself. And so you're using this as a distraction and saying like, oh, I don't look like this girl. I don't act like this girl, or I'm not as good as my ex-boyfriend's or my boyfriend's ex-girlfriend or whatever that is. That all comes from you not feeling good about yourself. So I think that is the thing that you need to work on, number one. And I think there's different ways you can do that. I mean, you've mentioned that you were in therapy before. I would definitely recommend therapy. There's a book that I read that really helped me called The Untethered Soul. And that book was all about, you know, getting rid of the roommate in your head that's mean. It was basically like if your friend spoke to you the way that you speak, that your like inner roommate speaks to you, then you would never have them as your friend. So it kind of really, that book really helped me because I was treating myself pretty poorly for a while there, a few years ago. And so that book really, really helped me. So I would really recommend you reading that book.
I think like as I'm reading your email again, what I'm kind of drawn to is that when you first told him that you liked him, he said that he was emotionally unavailable because he was still getting over an ex who he maintained a friendship with. Soon enough, however, he cut ties with her to be with me. Like that for you is like where the seed was initially planted because you were already forced to confront this ex. But I will say that like he had a really mature an appropriate response to you, right? Like he was like really honest and open with you from the beginning and you guys ended up getting together. And so I think like that is the proof that's in the pudding. Do you know what I mean? Like if he was honest with you from the very beginning, which he was, which is really respectful, and then he took the time to move through his emotions and be with you, and now he's an amazing boyfriend. Like, I think you just need to realize that, like, you don't, at the most basic level, you don't have anything to worry about. Like, he literally chose you. And so
I don't think it's about, like, that. I think it's about her love for herself.
Yeah, I know. I know that it is. But I guess I think trying to point that out specifically to you will help you kind of kind of help to frame this in your mind in a different way. Do you know what I mean? Because when you are constantly on her page or whatever, it reinforces, I think, that original piece, which was that like he still had feelings for her. But you have to allow people the time and space to like to grow, to change their mind, which you did. Obviously, like you sound great and he sounds great. It sounds like you like both gave each other the room to like organically come into your relationship. And so I think you just need to like have more respect for yourself and for him because you both made really good decisions to like get into this relationship together. And so like that should give you the confidence in your heart to know that you don't need to be on these other people's pages continually making comparisons. But yes, I agree with Jilly's point. Like obviously this is something that is rooted far, far back for you, you know, from your relationship when, you know, you were in high school with this other guy. And I think that this is something that you should continue to seek therapy on, to be honest with you. You know, it's a journey, and as you continue to go through it, your perspective will continue to change. But I would do a particular kind of therapy that's more like cognitive behavioral therapy instead of just talk therapy, because I'm sure you've done lots of talk therapy at this point. Cognitive behavioral therapy will actually give you like tips and tools that you need to change your behavior. So like if you usually do X, here is why you should do Y instead. You know what I mean? Like actually like provides you with like the insight on why the decision that you normally make, you know, is not a positive one for you. And it helps guide you to a better decision. And like, once you do that enough times, it becomes a habit and truly your behavior does start to change over time. And so I would recommend looking into something like that. And I think at the most basic level, like try deleting Instagram and Facebook off your phone for a week and like see how that feels.
I feel like she has tried blocking. She says, and then she always like unblocks.
Well, she's blocking, but she's not actually getting rid of the apps.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I guess it depends on how much you use the platforms.
I know, but they're like her drugs, obviously.
I guess. I think that
this is just a suggestion. Just give it a try. Just delete them from your phone for like 3 days.
I've always just found that, like, no matter, like, even if you block someone, like, they're still alive. They're still existing. Like, they're still.
Well, totally.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like it's just like you have to try to get to that place, like, on your own, you know? I think there are some things, like, really. Of course, like, I don't ever look at my ex-boyfriend's stories because that would just be, like, so painful. But, like, my perspective on blocking is, like, they still exist. You know what I mean?
So you wouldn't block them?
No, I just feel like they exist. And I feel like you're like, okay, I'm going to block them. And, like, that's how I'm going to move on instead of getting at the root of the issue, which I think the root of the issue is, like, your self-love.
Yeah, but I think that blocking and getting rid of the temptation is helpful because, like, here's the thing. If the internet didn't exist, you wouldn't have these platforms to go on and stalk these girls. And so they really wouldn't be top of mind for you. So to me, when I approach blocking people and muting them, I'm all for it. Like, I don't care about being like, I don't care if someone knows that, like, I've unfollowed them because, like, I don't want to see their content. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, whatever. I literally can't follow you. It's hurtful for me. You know what I mean? And so I just, like, don't be ashamed about that.
Yeah, never, like, be ashamed.
Definitely,
if you,
like, block, unfollow, do whatever you want. But just to Jill's point, like, yes, these people do still exist in your life. But just imagine a universe in which Instagram and Facebook didn't exist.
But do you think that she would be comparing herself to, like, other girls on the street?
I mean, I think
because I feel like you could compare yourself to anyone.
I mean, you can make comparisons at any point, but I just mean, like, phone use is addictive. Instagram use is addictive. Like, that's also feeding into your problem. And so you need to figure out some tools to, like, get off of these things.
I think it's so crazy. I mean, I think about, like, you know, before we did have social media so we could compare ourselves to everyone on there, were we comparing ourselves to, like, celebrities online? And then before we were, like, comparing ourselves to women in magazines. And then before that, I guess it's you're comparing yourself to anyone you see on the street. It's like, I feel like this whole, like, comparison thing has been, it's existed forever. And it's just, like, even more heightened because it's, like, actual, it's, you know, it's so instant and there's so many images and so much content that everyone puts in the world. But I struggle with, you know, it's hard. I mean, we all compare ourselves to people. We compare ourselves to, like, oh, I can't believe that person's, like, that further along in their career, or that was so easy for them, or I can't believe that they found their husband at, like, 26, or I can't believe this, you know. And I'm sure that there's people in the world, like, you're certain people in your life that are comparing themselves to you and being like, she's so lucky that she has this boyfriend that really cares about her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it can keep going and going the same way. It's like, you know, you're upset you don't have a boyfriend, and then you're upset you're not married yet, and then you're upset you don't have a baby yet. And, like, I think it just continues and continues. So, like, I don't know. I think that it's like really about, like, you know, trying to figure out how to be content with yourself and who you are, which I think is, like, the most difficult thing in life.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Oh, I love our sponsors.
Yes.
If you guys don't know about Third Love, you are about to fall in love for Third Love. Third Love is the website for you to find the best bra that fits you perfectly. They find the perfect fit using millions of real women's measurements. Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind for an impeccable fit and an incredible feel. Third Love also offers more sizes than most other brands. They are the industry leader with 70 sizes, including its signature half cup sizes. There's quality in every stitch. The details make the difference, from premium fabrics to expert design, and it's super convenient. You can find your fit in 60 seconds with Third Love's online fit finder. You order and you try it on at home, and there's no more awkward fitting room experiences. I love Third Love. My boobs, I'm between, like, a C and a D. I'm always somewhere in between, and I can never really find anything that fits. And I always hate trying on bras because I always find that the people that help you are, like, shoving your boobs into them. So I love the survey. Is so easy. You're finding your fit is so easy and quick, and I love it. It's just like a little quiz, and it's really fun. And I love little quizzes like that. So here's what is up. Third Love knows there is a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering our Lady Lovin' listeners 15% off your first order. That is 15% off of your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/lovin' now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off of your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/lovin' for 15% off today. Lady Lovin' is brought to you by Folane. For those of you that don't know, Folane is a clean beauty retailer that believes that no one should have to compromise their health for beauty. Folane is truly the best, and to be Folane approved, they only take the best. It has to be product safe, effective, and luxurious to experience. They're uncompromising, some might say relentless, in the quest to find the best products. They have a 5-step approval process. They identify, research, test, validate, and then launch. They also have a restricted ingredients list. These ingredients can be harmful for different reasons, and your skin absorbs up to 60% of the ingredients applied, so they make sure that nothing bad is in there for you. Folane ensures that every ingredient in their products plays a positive role in your health with no downsides or compromises allowed. The Clean Essentials Kit is also 100% non-toxic, vegan, and cruelty-free, and sustainable for all skin types. Take the skin quiz, come clean risk-free. If any product you try doesn't work for you, they'll replace it with something that does, pure and simple with free returns. In the Clean Essentials Kit, which I got, which I love, that I'm actually traveling with in New York, which is perfect because everything is travel size, they give you your daily skincare routine, and it's the cleanest skincare routine you can think of. The Clean Essentials Kit features travel size of 4 everyday non-toxic skin essentials, the OC Ocean Cleanser, which I love, the Indi Lee COQ10 Cleanser, Ursa Major Golden Hour, very deep moisturizing lotion, and the Folane refillable soap, which can be used on truly anything and everything you can think of. I love this Clean Essentials Kit. I love this OC Ocean Cleanser. It's so great. It's honestly, it's making my skin feel so fresh, so clean. And I love knowing that everything I'm putting on my face is natural. So for only $22, that's over 50% off. Try the Clean Essentials Kit today. Go to folane.com, folane.com/lovin' to try the kit and enter promo code LOVIN at checkout for free shipping. That is $22. That's over 50% off to try the Clean Essentials Kit today by going to folane, folane.com/lovin' with the promo code LOVIN at checkout for free shipping.
All right, we're back.
Okay, so next question. Oh, also, this comes from a listener who saw Greta's show in Brooklyn Heights at the Social Club, and it was really fun. Shout out Greta.
I mean, we're just like really loving on Greta
today. I know. Okay, here it goes. 4 months ago, I broke up with my boyfriend of 3 years. Won't get into the details, but the final straw was a secret drug addiction that woke me up to the fact that this relationship was wrong for me. And I can't believe I was tricking myself into believing that this was my future husband. Fast forward, I felt great about my decision, but I'm having trouble being happy single. I love all that wellness stuff, meditation, yoga, etc., and started seeing a therapist. But whenever I go out in NYC, I leave feeling disappointed and insecure. I leave my apartment feeling confident, but when no guys talk to me, it gets to be discouraging. I also don't often have the guts to start a conversation. I feel insecure and like I've regressed into my high school self. On those nights when I don't focus on meeting a guy, I just get engrossed with my friends and I have fun, but I also don't meet anyone. Any tips for improving my mentality when going out and breaking the ice when being approached and meeting new people? I just don't think that you're over your relationship yet, because as somebody that got out of a really bad relationship 18 months ago, for months and months and months, I felt the same exact way that you did. Like, I would go out and I would feel like I was striking out, and it was really difficult for me emotionally. And as time has gone by, I just do not care anymore. My focus has totally shifted, and I really just think it's going to take you some time. I think that you are really, even though you're happy to be out of the relationship, you're missing being in a relationship still, and you're just not over it, and you're just not to the place yet where you're comfortable again being single and being on your own. Because being in a relationship for that long, like, you have your best friend and somebody to lean on, like, pretty consistently, you know, and like all of a sudden, like, you don't have that relationship, even if you found out it was bad. And like, that's such a loss. And so you're just feeling that over and over again when you go out with the expectation of meeting somebody and you don't every night. It's like you're literally reliving it all the time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Lo there. I think it's really hard to, end a relationship and then put yourself back out there. And I think it's especially hard to put yourself back out there, like when you want to immediately get into another relationship or you're trying to fill a void or whatever that might be, because, you know, it's just a lot of pressure that you're putting on yourself to get there. I dated a guy for about 5 months this year and then we broke up, and it's really taken me about 5 months to actually feel like, okay, I'm ready to date. And I've moved, like, I'm happy that, or, you know, I'm like, it's fine that it's over. I'm good. And like, now I'm ready to date. But it really took me like 5 months to get to this place where I feel like comfortable going out with someone new. Like when we first broke up, I was like, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to like, you know, make out with a guy, see what happens. And I just like, I did that once and I was like, I'm not ready for this. And like, that's okay. So I'm just going to focus on myself. And then when I am ready, I'm going to have a much more positive experience about putting myself out there and dating. So I think you just need to give yourself a bit more time.
I think so too. And I think, you know, you said that when you go out with your friends and focus on that, you do have a good time, but then you also have that feeling of like, oh, I'm not meeting anybody. And like, you need to change your perspective on that, because like, you will be in a relationship again at some point. And like, this time that you're spending with your friends and like recultivating these relationships is really important. And I think when you get back into a relationship, it's going to be important to continue to maintain those friendships and focus on those things, like without having a guy always be in the picture or like feeling like, you know, like lonely for a guy. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you really need to cherish the time that you're spending with your friends and not think about it from a perspective of like, oh, I'm with my friends instead of with a guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because your friends are always going to be there for you. And it's something that I'm trying to do as I get into new relationships, is to like really make time for my friendships. And so just cherish and like value the time that you're able to spend with those people. I think instead of making the comparison of like, oh, I'm with my friends and that means I'm not with a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not one or the other, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just
not binary. That's a word that you've been loving lately, Jilly.
I do like the word binary. Hilarious. Okay. I use that a lot.
Binary.
Okay. Binary outcome.
Yeah, binary outcome.
That's what I like.
Okay. All right. Do we have time for one more?
I think we have time for one more. This is a really interesting question, and I'm not quite sure how I even feel about it. So I'm excited to kind of dive in this with you and get your opinion, Lo.
Okay.
She says that she loves our podcast. She's been listening from the beginning, and this is the first time she's ever written in. Well, I like you taking the chance and writing us after 3 years. Okay. My question today involves a guy I've been dating for a few months now. He's really sweet, smart, active, and driven. We have good sex, and overall, he's a great person. My issue is that he just doesn't make me laugh. He's kind of a corny sense of humor, makes a lot of cheesy dad jokes that don't always make sense. I feel so bad saying this, but sometimes it's just really cringy. The banter between us isn't there, and sometimes it feels like we totally don't get each other. My question is, how important is a similar sense of humor in a relationship? Am I being crazy for considering dumping a good guy who seems to really like me because he doesn't make me laugh? My concern is that life can be tough sometimes, and I just feel it's important to be with someone who makes your belly laugh. I'm so torn because he's a good person and treats me well. What is your advice? So this one is a little bit, I'm like torn by this one, because I think the thing that most attracts me to a man is a sense of humor, and whether we like, you know, I guess like have a vibe and have that banter, not so much over text message though. I think a lot of people think that they need to have this like crazy banter over text when you first start dating someone. But I think that that's just like, you know, I feel like that's not the way that you should think about things, but it sounds like here she's talking about in real life, the sense of humor. So I don't know, because like, I've never dated someone that I wasn't like, you're really funny, or like we have like, I, you know, I like this sort of humor between us.
I've just never dated somebody who does something that makes me feel cringy.
Yeah. That word cringy is very, it's
that,
a word.
That word st- stands out at me.
It's a strong word.
You're saying he's really smart, sweet, active, and driven. We have good sex, and overall, he's a great person. You don't once say, I'm in love with him.
Yeah, you're not like, I am crazy about him.
Yeah, but he has like a corny sense of humor.
It sounds a little bit like you feel you're settling, or you're like, this is a good person, so I should date him, instead of like, I'm really into this guy or girl.
Yeah, that's what it reads. That's how it sounds. But I also kind of think like,
I think things can grow over time.
I think things can grow over time, and I think you can have a really good relationship with somebody who is sweet, smart, active, and driven, and you have good sex with, and he's a great person. Like,
yeah. I know. So what would you do? If you were in this situation, what would you do?
So here's what I've been thinking about lately. Like, do you need to have that, like, crazy passion? And like, is that an indicator of like the best kind of relationship and the relationship that you should like go for? Or is a relationship where the person is like a wonderful person and like treats you well and can like be there for you forever? Like, is there one that's better than another? I'm asking you, like, literally you, Jill, like hypothetical, like I don't know the answer to this.
Of course, like, I wouldn't want to date someone that was just like funny and we had fun together, but was a dick in real life or not hardworking and didn't want the same things that I want. But I don't know. I guess
is that passion really important? Is that an indicator of like the relationship that you should like go for? Or is the relationship you should go for if the person's great, but that passion like isn't there? Like, is that just as good?
Like, it depends on the person and what they want. Like, for me personally, like, I love attention. I like passion. I want someone to like, you know, be on top of me and be like, I'm obsessed with you. Like, I like that. You know what I mean? Like, not in like a weird way, but I want that all. And so like, for me, I do want that, but I don't think that everyone is the same as me. I think that some people are like, okay with, you know, whereas like maybe I am, you know, don't care as much about other things that someone else would care about more. You know what I mean? So I think it's different. But like, for me, like, yeah, I love being able to be with someone where we can just like, they can make me laugh and their humor's funny. Even if it's like, you know, I remember like this guy that I dated, he always said that I do these like comment complaints, and he like joked about it, and it was like very funny, and it really made me laugh because it was like a funny observation about life. I think like more like that sort of thing to me is like what I think about that's funny. I don't complain a lot. I just mean it was a funny just to share that with you guys. I'm not a complainer, but I do like to observe things in an interesting way. So I don't know. I guess like, it depends on like I just need more information here. Like, I need to know if you feel passionate about this guy, how long you've been dating, like a few months, how like, are you guys serious? Like, I need more info.
So let's just go back to like the core of it. She says, am I being crazy for considering dumping a guy who seems to really like me because he doesn't make me laugh? My concern is life can be tough sometimes, and I feel it's important to be with someone who makes you belly laugh. It's also important to be with somebody who is really there for you. Like, when shit hits the fan, like, yeah, a belly laugh is great, but like, is this person going to like hold you fucking tight and make sure that you're okay and help you move forward? Cause it kind of sounds like he's the guy that will do that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I feel like you should just maybe get over this joke thing. Like, what, like, maybe, I don't know. And like, what do you mean is that joke?
The overall vibe I'm getting is that she's not in love with this guy.
I know. I think that's what it is too. Like, the overall vibe is, I feel like that you feel like you're settling a bit, which means you need to like explore the waters more. But I also think that if you do love this, find yourself like that you could love this guy and you do feel passionately about him, then I would keep going. So I would just in your mind figure out how you actually really feel about him, and if this is just something that's like a cover up for something else.
Right. It's not about his jokes.
Yeah.
Like, because if you really love somebody, him,
you're like, whatever.
Would it matter?
Yeah, I guess that's okay. Going back, I think that we figured this out. If you actually really love someone, it wouldn't matter if they're funny or whatever they are, because you love them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. This question really stumped me when I first read it, because I love like, you know.
Don't you like our hypothetical question? Like, what relationship is better? I guess you're right, though. It just depends on the person.
It depends on the person. Like, I don't know. I feel like every person I date, some people are like, that guy's not funny at all, or that guy's like whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, to me, they're the funniest because I love them.
Yeah,
you know?
No, 100%.
So like, I don't know.
I guess, like, I'm still just thinking, like, does a relationship have to have that, like, Zaza whatever?
Yeah. I don't
Zaza
know.
Zaza Zoo or...
I think
so. Can you be happy with somebody who's just, like, wonderful and consistent and loves you?
I think it depends on the people, but I don't know. My parents have been married for 40 years, and, like, my dad still makes my mom laugh, and my dad still looks at my mom as, like, that woman is crazy. But they, like, still love each other, and they've been married for, like, over 40 years.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so, like, to me, like, I want that. You know what I mean? But, like, some people don't need it. I don't know. Some people, like, just like the comfort of having someone there, and they want a relationship that's more like platonic, you know?
Well, not platonic. That's not what I mean by no passion. Like, you can have good sex. Like, what I mean is,
I was doing extremes. I was doing extremes.
I mean, like, not every relationship has that, like, zing.
Yeah.
But you can still have good sex, you know, be a great partner. And, like, I guess it just really depends on the kind of personality that you have. Like, do you need the zing, or can you be happy with somebody who's just, like, wonderful and consistent? Because if you get a zingy person, they might be a fucking dick.
I also think the zing can come later on. Like, I think sometimes when you first meet someone, you date for a bit, and you're, like, maybe not sure, or you guys are just, like, it's, like, slower than other relationships. Like, sometimes the zing hits you later on, and then you're like, wow.
Totally.
We fell in love.
Anyway, if you have thoughts on this, we'd love to hear your
emails. Yeah, we would love to. All right. My lady loving this week is Greta.
Me too.
We miss you, Greta. All right.
Love you, girl.
Thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.